Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio, it's Ian.
And nobody.
Of course, you can bring up anything that happens to be on your mind. Just got notice of this big news just a few moments before the show, within the last couple of hours, that there's a major bank in the United States that has failed. It has been apparently seized by the FDIC, the Federal Deposit so-called Insurance Corporation, and it's a pretty ugly situation. First major bank failure like this, this size, since apparently 2008, since that particular financial crisis. So not looking so good. We can tell you a little bit about that. Plus, on the way here, I want to get into one of the latest episodes of the NBC Boston series on the Free State Project, of which nobody, you have yet to actually watch any of these episodes.
Yeah, it's true. I've been tied up with Cell 411.
Well, that's a good problem to have. We can maybe get an update on that, too, as well. But all that's on deck here tonight. The number, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. And the interesting possible side effects of this Silicon Valley Bank going down, the news is everywhere. This is so big, it's hit the front page, the top of the Drudge Report. Right now, you can go there and see it for yourself. But NBC News covering Silicon Valley Bank, one of the tech sector's favorite lenders, is shutting down. The California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation said Friday that it was taking over and closing the distressed bank to protect deposits, naming the FDIC as its receiver. The FDIC has formed a separate entity where all insured SVB deposits will be available, they claim, by Monday morning. Now, of course, we know what they mean when they say insured deposits. They're referring to the $250,000 per depositor amount that the FDIC claims to insure, which, of course, they're using taxpayer money to shore up these accounts. So anybody that's got an account with more than $250,000... You might be up S Creek without a paddle here if you had an account at this particular bank, Silicon Valley Bank. The closure marks the biggest bank failure since the 2008 financial crisis and the second largest in U.S. history after Washington Mutual collapsed during that industry-wide meltdown, according to FDIC data. Wow, I didn't realize it was the second largest bank failure in U.S. history.
Well, of course, with inflation, that's easy to accomplish.
Sure, you know, $1 billion today isn't what $1 billion was 20 years ago or 40 years ago or whatever.
No.
At the end of December, the Santa Clara, California-based bank, which is the 16th largest bank, or was the 16th largest bank in the country, had $209 billion in assets with more than $175 billion in deposits. As with other FDIC member banks, SVB deposits are insured up to $250,000 per depositor, but the FDIC has yet to determine how many of those deposits exceed the insurance limit, and the agency said it would be working over the weekend to pin that down. Well, now, with a bank that is essentially catering to the Silicon Valley elite, you better believe there's going to be a ton of depositors there that have more than $250,000.
I would think so.
Yeah, apparently these are, you know, venture capitalist firms and tech companies and that sort of thing.
And of course, if you're a company, you don't get deposit insurance at all.
Oh, really? FDIC is only for personal?
Yep.
I didn't know that. So yeah, I think that's it's going to be a large amount of their funds. Uninsured depositors will receive an advance dividend as well as, quote, a receivership certificate for the remaining amount of their uninsured funds. So that's just basically saying, here's what your account balance supposedly was, right? And you, if you're in receivership, that would mean that if the bank gets purchased or liquidated, then they would get a share of that as a, kind of like a creditor, basically?
Yeah.
As the FDIC sells the assets of Silicon Valley Bank, future dividend payments might be made to uninsured depositors, but there's no guarantee you're going to see, you know, pennies on the dollar of what you had, quote-unquote, in the bank.
Wow.
Silicon Valley Bank referred requests for comments Friday to the FDIC's takeover notice. The shutdown came after a tumultuous morning for SVB, during which trading of its shares was halted after they fell by double digits before markets opened. The downside then came, or the downslide came on the heels of a more than 60% decline on Thursday.
I don't get the whole halting trading thing. It's like,
they don't want the market to work.
Yeah.
They don't stand in the way.
Yeah, it's just so stupid.
They're trying to do somebody a favor.
Yeah.
Right? So apparently worries over a run at SVB led Wall Street investors to dump other bank stocks as well. Shares of some other prominent West Coast lenders took sharp nosedives on Friday, including First Republic, PacWest Bancorp, and Western Alliance Bank Corporation. The bank even called the New York Police Department Friday on their own customers as they began lining up outside of its Park Avenue offices to get their money. Can you believe this? I mean, the gall of these people to call the cops on their own customers who, these guys weren't putting guns in their faces like they are out in Lebanon where they're actually, it's the country that is, where they're actually holding up the bank branches in order to get their own funds out. They're using, you know, weapons to threaten the tellers. That wasn't happening in Manhattan, okay? What happened, apparently, according to another story, was some of these tech guys, you know, that have accounts at this bank, they went down to the bank after hearing that the stock took a 60% hit on Thursday, and they, you know, they might have seen the writing on the wall, or maybe somebody inside the bank whispered to them and said, hey, you might want to get your funds out. And so they showed up bright and early Friday morning and said, yeah, like, give us our money. And they got the cops called on them.
Wow.
Officers who arrived on the scene left after determining that there was nothing criminal happening, according to NYPD spokes bureaucrat. In the view of the tumult section, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told House lawmakers Friday morning, quote, there are recent developments that concern a few banks that I'm monitoring very carefully. And when banks experience financial loss, it is and should be a matter of concern. By the way, this is also happening on the tail end of the what appears to be failure of Silvergate Bank. I don't know if you heard anything about them.
No.
So Silvergate Bank is noteworthy because it was one of the few banks in the country that was willing to do business with cryptocurrency-related businesses.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know if they have gone out of business quite yet, but they have lost. I've heard that they are going under, but I've not seen the verification of that. But they have absolutely lost major accounts. Lots of crypto exchanges have closed their accounts with Silvergate Bank in recent weeks and months, and so it's not looking so good for them. They're also a West Coast California bank.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also developing as this other bank, Silicon Valley Bank, is going down.
Wow.
According to the story here, they even mentioned Silvergate.
Is Atlas shrugging?
Yeah, it's a good question. Again, this is the 16th largest bank in the country. They actually do mention Silvergate here in the next paragraph. Jitters around the bank followed the news this week that Silvergate, a much smaller bank largely focused on the crypto industry, announced plans to shut down. So, yes, Silvergate is closing down. However, I don't think Silvergate is without funds. They just kind of, they're going under for whatever reason. You know, they lost confidence. Essentially, it was the whole FTX debacle that kind of lit the fire to destroy Silvergate Bank, because FTX was banking with them as well. For SVB, the drama started earlier this week when it disclosed that it sold about $21 billion worth of securities and proposed to offer over $1 billion in shares, all to fundraise for so-called general corporate purposes. The move raised eyebrows among investors who pondered why SVB would need to raise so much money abruptly. It also sparked concerns among depositors, many of whom suddenly wondered whether their money was safe and began pulling funds out.
So good old-fashioned bank run. Haven't seen one of those in a while.
Thursday, the information reported that Silicon Valley Bank CEO Greg Becker was asking venture capital clients to stay calm as some tech founders began clarifying whether their companies had money at the bank. So, yeah, you've got the bank heads telling people, oh, yeah, everything's fine here. There's nothing on fire in the back. Just don't, you know, don't worry. We've got everything covered. And then 3 days later or 2 days later or whatever, they're done for.
Wow.
Silicon Valley Bank is known for helping to finance an explosion of West Coast companies in the tech sector, an industry that has recently been walloped by high interest rates and an economic slowdown. Excuse me. Many of SVB's depositors, it's funny, SVB kind of sounds like SBF, like all these three-letter acronyms, are tech startups and venture capital funds, and it doesn't rely on mom-and-pop savings accounts like banks familiar to the U.S. Or the average U.S. household. Their tech-focused strategy has helped it ride the industry's massive growth leading up to and through the pandemic, but overzealous hiring during the public health crisis has more recently led the tech sector to institute sweeping layoffs as the Federal Reserve sharply increased borrowing costs to cool inflation and has raised expectations of an economic slowdown. Mike Mayo, bank analyst at Wells Fargo Securities, said Friday, quote, the issue here is what is the domino effect of problems outside the banking industry on the banks themselves? He said further, banks are still at the heart of the economy, and if there are issues, then banks are going to feel it, unquote. He cautioned the banking system overall has more robust guardrails now than it did 15 years ago. Well, if that's true, then how did the number 16 bank fail within a week? Due to policies put in place. Good.
Yeah, you can't prevent that kind of thing.
Catastrophic failure of a system that's over-leveraged with money they can print out of thin air and aren't keeping deposits on hold for their depositors anyway?
Yeah, I mean, the only way to have safe banking is not to have fractional reserve, which means that the banks would have to make their money honestly, and they don't want to do that.
That's part of the game. I mean, they've got the permission slip from the federal government to literally print money from thin air. I mean, why are they going to give that up?
I don't know if it's the answer, but if they started hanging bankers, it would probably happen.
It makes me curious to see what's been going on over there in Nigeria. Were you on the show tonight? We talked about the Nigeria banking situation.
No, but I got a nice email from a prince there.
In the last few weeks, just before their elections, which happened at the end, I think, of February, we covered a story that people were literally just destroying the banks in and across Nigeria. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting situation because what was happening was the Nigerian Central Bank had decided that it was going to replace the Nigerian Naira currency with redesigned bills. So they weren't redenominating, which is, you know, normally what you would expect where inflation's going on. And like in Venezuela, they would cut zeros off of the bills and then replace them with new bills. In this case, they were just reissuing. And so they essentially told the people of the country, many of whom, like 40%, don't have bank accounts. So there's a high amount of unbanked people there. They essentially told these people, hey, you got to bring all your money in, anything over 200 naira, which is like, you know, 40 cents or something like that. There's like a 200, a 500, and a 1,000 naira bill. You got to bring all your bills in, get all your money out from under your mattress, wherever it is you've stashed it over the years, because it's no longer going to be worth anything when we finally pull the trigger on this currency changeover. So they were essentially forcing people to take their money out from wherever they had it in hiding and bring it to a bank. And then what happened was the banks didn't have enough money to exchange the existing currency for new currency. And all of this time, the time is ticking away of the, you know, they only had a few weeks in which they could exchange before the old notes would no longer be useful anymore, would no longer be accepted. And so the Nigerians were like, F this, and they just took like poles and other things to the fronts, the frontages of these banks, destroyed ATMs, which were limiting the amount of withdrawals that that they could make. They basically couldn't buy things because of a self-imposed currency shortage by the Nigerian government. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy stuff. So, I mean, that's not happening here yet.
I wonder why they did that, because it sounds like a scam to me. You know,
definitely.
All of a sudden, we've decided that our old banknotes aren't pretty enough, so we need to print some prettier ones, and everybody has to bring all their money into the bank. That sounds like a setup for some kind of confiscation.
So here's the piece.
Maybe the scam was just not printing enough money so that the last people to get to the bank would lose out.
Well, here's the other little bit of the story that I didn't tell you, and that is that Nigeria has launched their own central bank digital currency in recent months. So it could be, it wouldn't be a stretch to believe that this was a plot to encourage people to use the, as of yet, unused CBDC. Most Nigerians, like 90, I think the number was 0.5% of Nigerians have adopted the CBDC voluntarily. So this could have been a nasty little trick of, yeah, you need to exchange your Naira. Oh, we don't have enough Naira to give to you. Well, we do have a CBDC over here that you could use.
Bait and switch.
Yeah, so that could be what's going on there. But yeah, it does remind me we ought to check in with the Nigerian situation and see how that thing is developing. Because there were literally like thousands of people in the streets. They're setting fires. They're destroying banks inside and out. Bankers were scrambling over barbed wire fences to try to get out from their own facilities. Basically.
See, that sounds healthy to me. I don't know. Maybe I've got strange standards, but I think that if more people were chasing bankers around in America,
right?
The world would be a better place.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Some of the video was pretty interesting to watch. And so, yeah, we did cover that here. But now, you know, again, that's not happening yet in the United States. But you do have a major bank failing. You do have another smaller bank, a crypto-friendly bank that's now going out of business, which, of course, is going to, you know, begs the question of what's going to happen to those clients that the crypto bank was servicing. Where are they going to go? Because not very many banks want to do business with cryptocurrency-related businesses. Even the businesses that jump through all the hoops. Like these exchanges, they're like, oh, yeah, whatever hoops you got, we'll jump them. Even the ones that are willing to jump all the hoops have a tough time finding banks who are willing to provide them with services. So it's a rough time to be in the cryptocurrency business right now and try to get a banking account, which you need to have. I mean, as much as those of us who love cryptocurrency want to be able to opt out of the banks entirely, and for some people they've been managed, you know, they've managed to do it, like Joel Valenzuela out on the seacoast of New Hampshire. He's been living exclusively on crypto since 2015. So it can be done. But for those of us that, you know, still want to help people get out of the dollar, they have to have ways to get rid of the dollar. And one of the easiest ways to do it is to, you know, send a wire or an ACH transfer from your bank account into a crypto exchange. But if we're running out of banks that are willing to actually do that service, then we've got a major problem on our hands.
I'd say that's true. Although, you know, hopefully people will trade it for stuff.
Yeah, well, that would be nice, too. And I have heard a rumor that AnyPay may be getting back up and operational again. They've been having some issues technically for some number of months, like a lot of months, and apparently those bugs may have been fixed. I'm not able to test it myself, but I've heard through the rumor mill that that's coming, so it'd be great if that happened again. So let's look at the potential fallout here for the world of crypto from the failure of the Silicon Valley Bank. CoinDesk has what I think is the most interesting headline here about this bank failure. There's a stable coin, a big one, that apparently had an account with Silicon Valley Bank. So we've talked a lot about stablecoins here on Free Talk Live. Nobody, can you define for our audience who may be new to the idea of Bitcoin, what is a stablecoin?
Well, a stablecoin is a coin that is locked in value, in theory, to some other commodity. So it could be backed by dollars. In theory, you could have gold backed stable coins. You could have,
they have those.
You could have pork belly backed stable coins. With enough stable coins, and a sufficiently robust system for stable coins, you could replace the commodities exchange. And anybody could trade in commodities who wanted wanted to. I expect that if markets were free, I expect that's where we would eventually go. But there's no telling where anything is going with, you know, madmen at the wheel.
Well, and so stablecoins give more options to people in the cryptocurrency world who want to, let's say, sell their crypto like Bitcoin and get the equivalent of dollars, but not actual dollars, into their crypto wallet that they can then trade again for more crypto perhaps in the future. And maybe they'll win or maybe they'll lose on that trade. But it gives people more trading options within the various different crypto marketplaces. That's one thing.
I used it in 2017. There was a pretty big collapse one particular night. And so I put my money in, I traded my crypto for one of the dollar stable coins and for the night, and bought crypto back in the morning and ended up with significantly more crypto than I had at first. So, yeah, I definitely came out ahead there.
So it's a useful tool for trading. And it allows people, for instance, who aren't in the United States to use dollars without having to have a bank account. So, like, there's all kinds of things that stablecoins can be useful for.
Mm-hmm.
But it requires some level of trust. And this is the downside of the stablecoin, is that you have to trust that the issuer, in this case, USDC is the number two stablecoin. The number one is called USDT. Tether. Mm-hmm. So there's the Circle stablecoin, and then there's the Tether stablecoin. These are huge business. I mean, when I say number one, Tether is literally, I think, the number three crypto overall. There's Bitcoin, mm-hmm. Ethereum, and then Tether, and I think USDC is maybe number four or five. So it's big. This is a $43 billion digital asset. But they
had a lot of exposure to the FTX, right?
I'm not aware of USDC getting involved.
There was
in FTX.
Some stablecoin that was involved with that. I don't know.
I have not heard about that. But in this case, they were apparently involved in Silicon Valley Bank.
Wow.
So according to Coindesk.com, USDC, the second largest stablecoin, apparently had some of its cash reserves. So it didn't have all $43 billion. Mm-hmm. But they claim that it could be as much as $9.88 billion of cash was deposited at regulated banks. So it's not saying it was all at Silicon Valley Bank's account, but they apparently did have an account there, and we don't know how much they may have lost from their backing to their so-called stablecoin. So the whole stablecoin industry has had a really tough go so far. And if you want to comment here, you can join us. The number 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. Plus, they're going after another cryptocurrency vending machine company. It's all coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. President Biden says a strong jobs report shows his economic plan is working. Speaking at the White House, he noted 311,000 jobs were added in February, which is more than analysts expected. However, the revised figures for December and January show 34,000 fewer jobs were added in those months. Also, President Biden making it clear in his budget he won't allow for entitlements to be cut. A Republican presidential candidate disagrees.
We have to be realistic. It is unrealistic to to say you're not going to touch entitlements. The thing is, you don't have to touch it for seniors and anybody near retirement. You're talking about the new generation, like my kids coming up.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell remains hospitalized with a concussion. The 81-year-old Senate minority leader fell at a dinner event in Washington, D.C. He'll stay in the hospital for a few more days for treatment and observation. Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Join us here. Bring up what you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Headlines today about a major bank failure. Now, it was a major bank, but one you probably never heard of unless you're like a Silicon Valley entrepreneur or tech entrepreneur, venture capitalist firm, in which case you may have heard the news that your bank account is frozen right now, and if you had more than $250,000 in it, there's a good chance you're never going to see any of that again because this bank is insolvent. It has been seized. It's called Silicon Valley Bank. It's been seized by the FDIC. And apparently, tough times for those businesses right now that had accounts at this bank. The 16th largest bank in the country. And some people are worried that this could be the beginning of a run on banks in general, or certainly the banks that are holding tech companies' monies.
Mm-hmm.
We have a story here from Coindesk.
That sounds like a good thing.
We have, not for the tech companies, but...
Not for the tech companies, but in the long run...
you mean the failure of banks?
The failure of banks and the failure of a lot of the tech companies also. There's a lot of evil tech companies out there.
Sure, I wouldn't shed any
Google
tears.
Google used to object to evil, and now they had to take that off their resume when they made their deal with the devil or the U.S. government or both.
Sometime in the last decade, too. It's been a while since they got rid of that slogan.
Yeah.
So as we just found out, the company behind USDC, the second largest stablecoin on the planet, which is a stablecoin is a cryptocurrency token that is supposed to be backed by something. And in the case of USDC, it's supposed to be backed by the equivalent of dollars. Now, according to USDC's attestation, they back their coin with government bonds and quote-unquote cash-like assets, including, according to their reserve report, $9.88 billion of cash deposited at regulated banks to back USDC's value. Their banking partners included SVB, Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah. And so that would be a quarter of their assets.
Correct. Well, now, again, that was at multiple banks, supposedly.
Right.
So we don't know how much of it was at Silicon Valley Bank. The full list of banks that held cash for Circle's USDC include Bank of New York Mellon, Citizens Trust Bank, Customers Bank, New York Community Bank, Signature Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, and Silvergate Bank. Now, we know Silvergate's closing down, and now this one, the Silicon Valley Bank, is out of business. Circle said last week they had cut ties with Silvergate, the crypto-friendly bank that had halted operations, and said it would voluntarily liquidate its assets earlier this week. Circle did not return requests for comment about the firm's exposure to SVB and Signature Bank at press time. Do you think you can get insurance on bank failure? Like, that's like actual real insurance?
I don't know.
I know I have heard that there's certain banks, or maybe they're credit unions. I think they're credit unions, actually. So there's a credit union, if I recall correctly, in Massachusetts that claims that they are insuring deposits over $250,000. So I believe it can be done. I don't know how common it is. I suspect it's not very common.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if Circle, the company behind USDC, actually had any kind of insurance to cover this. Because they're being awfully quiet. If they're being quiet about it, that suggests that they didn't have any insurance and they're currently sweating it out to see what, you know, shoe drops next in this situation as to what they're going to tell their investors and their clients.
Yeah, I would expect them to be pretty vocal about it if they did have insurance in order to reassure investors and what have you.
Right. They would just come right out and say, "What? Everything's fine. We got Lloyd's of London here. They've got us covered up to $20 billion in losses from bank failure, so we're good to go." But as of right now, they're not returning requests for comment.
Wow.
Simon Dixon, the CEO of online investment platform Bink to the Future, spelled B-N-K to the Future, tweeted that Circle's chief executive said the firm held most of their cash in BNY Mellon while sharing a screenshot from March 2nd. Bank to the Future is an investor and shareholder in Circle. But what this really goes to show here, I think, is that people who thought that these centralized stablecoins like USDC and USDT are some sort of safe storage should be shaken to the core by a development like this.
Yeah, definitely.
It's ugly.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And it's, you know, the real sad part is last year, I think it was May of last year, there was a really kind of interesting thing that happened, and not in a good way, but there was this decentralized stablecoin, this so-called algorithmic stablecoin called UST, or Terra. Mm-hmm. And they had cooked up a way. Turned out it didn't really work out, but for a little while it looked like it was going to work out. They had, like, they had taken the number three spot for stablecoins. They were coming up on USDC. I think they'd hit like 18 or $20 billion in market cap. So they were in like the top seven or eight market or currencies in the world of crypto. And then they just all of a sudden just crashed. And the value of their stablecoin went from a dollar to 2 cents or 1 cent within a matter of days.
Wow.
And it was brutal. Billions of dollars of people's value was wiped out. And then what we learned later on was that SBF, the Sam Bankman-Fried, the guy behind FTX, that whole situation, he allegedly used his customer funds, of course without their permission, to influence the market to go against UST or US the Terra coin. And I can't explain how all that worked. I've heard people who paid attention to it say this guy essentially used the money that he had, and probably at the behest of the bankers who are his buddies, to destroy the world's most successful attempt at an algorithmic stablecoin.
Wow.
So that happened, and then a matter of months later, his exchange, FTX, went under, which affected Silvergate Bank, which is now going out of business, which was the crypto-friendly bank. And now you've got this big bank, this number 16 here that we've been talking about, the Silicon Valley Bank. They have gone out of business as well. Meanwhile, you know, we still don't know what Tether's reserves are. They've never actually they've never had a third-party audit that they've revealed publicly, from what I understand. That's the number one stablecoin, so there's always been a question mark by Tether. USDC had always been the most transparent of the centralized stablecoins. It's a Coinbase-backed company. Coinbase and Circle are the two companies that are behind it. And so they've shown all the numbers. They've shown all their books, supposedly. And, well, now one of their banks just got closed down. And there's an unknown question of how many dollars they may have lost in that process. So doesn't seem like there's any real safe stablecoins out there at this point.
No, unless you're holding all of 100% reserves, it's almost impossible to be a safe stable coin because you're going to be dependent on either getting paid back for loans or right. You're going to be dependent on the value of some commodity. You're going to be dependent on something.
Right.
And, of course, in this case, even if you did have 100% reserves on your stablecoin, if the bank goes out of existence,
you're screwed.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Yeah, so it's an interesting situation. We'll, of course, continue to watch it as it develops. If you have any comments, you're welcome to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. And, yeah, I'm not trying to stoke any fears here and, you know, say that it's all going to come crashing down. I don't think that's necessarily what's going on here. But it wouldn't hurt to reassess your banking situation, you know, just to take a look at which accounts you have and, you know, make sure that you can access the funds that are in there. Maybe you want to consider getting some of that money out. I mean, in the world that we live in, it's hard to live without a bank account, right? Like, there's some things that, like, for instance, here, if you own a house in Keene, New Hampshire, and you want to go pay the water bill, well, unless you want to go down and, you know, give them cash, you have to cut a check. They won't take anything else. You can't use your credit card or whatever. So, like, there's certain things that checks are still kind of the only thing you can use to pay for things. It's not so true anymore as it once was. But, you know, maybe you want to consider limiting the amount of money that you have within the banking system. It may be a lot safer in a fireproof safe in your home or in your basement or something like that.
Yeah, well, there's definitely something to be said for diversification, you know, because you can lose a fireproof safe, you can lose a bank account.
Yep.
You're unlikely to lose them both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, nothing is invulnerable.
Well, that's true. And diversification, of course, is certainly the name of the game. And we're not financial advisors or anything like that. But I would say if it were me, and right now I only have one bank account left with, with my name on it. And I think there's like $400 in that account.
Hmm.
So, you know, keep a minimum. The way I would do it would be to just keep the minimum amount that you need in the banking system and keep anything else outside of it. Now, whatever that means, it could mean having some cash in a safe. It could mean having cryptocurrency. It could mean having some gold or silver somewhere safe. Maybe not just in your house, maybe in your parents' house or your wife's parents' house or wherever, you know, you feel safe putting things in other people's possession. These may be things to consider.
Yeah, you never know when the FBI is going to come.
Yeah, that is a problem when you have stuff kept at home.
So, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, if you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever happens to be on your mind. So in other economic and crypto-related news, this one's going to strike home for you, nobody, and for me here, well, with what happened with the whole Crypto 6 situation, which, of course, involved both you and I and some of our friends. They're expanding out. They went after us, and we were relatively small potatoes, all things considered.
They had us. They had our house staked out while SBF was stealing billions of dollars.
Yeah, they
we didn't steal a thing.
Nope, and they didn't allege that we did either. And they literally staked us out 24 hours a day for months and months and months.
Yeah.
But they also apparently are going after a larger Bitcoin vending machine company, not the manufacturer of the machines, but a company that had dozens, at least 50, crypto kiosks in the state of Ohio.
Hmm.
This company was called Bitcoin of America. So kind of playing on the Bank of America name. They called their company Bitcoin of America. They had locations not just in Ohio, but in other states as well. But for whatever reason, Ohio apparently teamed up, the Ohio bureaucracy there, banker, investigator types, police, etc. Apparently there were like 28 different police agencies that teamed up for this takedown of this company and their executives. They've been indicted for allegedly operating unlicensed crypto kiosks and claim that they knowingly benefited from victims of cryptocurrency scams. S&P Solutions, which operated as Bitcoin of America, along with three of its executives, are facing charges of money laundering, conspiracy, and other crimes connected to the operation of more than 50 unlicensed crypto kiosks in the state. This is according to Cointelegraph.com. A Cuyahoga County grand jury returned the indictment on March 1st against the firm. The owner and founder Sonny Maraban, manager Reza Maraban, and company attorney William Suriano. The trio was arrested last week, and search warrants were executed on their residences in Florida and Illinois. According to the prosecuting attorney, romance scammers, law enforcement person impersonators, and robocallers exploited the lack of anti-money laundering protections in the firm's systems to transfer funds out of users' crypto wallets. The bureaucrat, Andrew Rogalski, commented during a press conference that, quote, these ATMs are ready-made for scammers, adding that they direct the victims, which are often elderly or otherwise vulnerable, to specifically go to Bitcoin of America ATMs, take money they've withdrawn from their savings accounts or 401ks. They are then instructed to put cash into the machine in exchange for Bitcoin in a wallet they think is theirs, but have no control over, he explained. Sounds familiar? Yeah, it sounds very familiar to some of the allegations in the Crypto 6 case.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know all the details here. I did pull up the indictment of these three people who are running this business. They are facing dozens of charges, even more charges than in the Crypto 6 case. But curiously, they're all state-level charges. So even though the Secret Service, as you'll find out later in the story, was heavily involved in doing this investigation, which is strange because normally the Secret Service gets involved in counterfeiting operations. But regardless, they were involved in this as well as whichever other Ohio police bureaucracies. But the feds didn't bring the charges here. It was the Ohio State Police that did.
Interesting.
Like, not sure why they went that way, but that's the way they've gone with this particular case. And so alleging that these ATMs they're claiming are ready-made for scammers. But exactly what is it that these supposed anti-money laundering protections would have done to stop these elderly victims from going and pumping their savings into these machines?
Very little, as far as I can tell. I mean, they don't even, the FBI didn't even bother to investigate the actual scammers.
In our case, no, they did not.
In our case, no. And I doubt they did in this either. They don't seem to be interested in actual fraud.
No.
They're interested in going after crypto companies any way they can. I think they're just errand boys for the bankers. Which is, you know, why I wouldn't cry if I saw some bankers set on fire.
or climbing over barbed wire fences.
Or climbing over barbed wire fences. I think they need more barbed wire in their lives. Because they have monopolies. They are privileged by the government. Mm-hmm. They are given monopolies by the government. And when somebody tries to do something honest, they send the government attack dogs after them. And so, you know, setting them on fire seems perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, nobody, but I do understand your frustration. But in this case, they give an example of somebody who lost some money. I mean, the elderly gentleman lost $11,250 in three transactions to one of the dodgy kiosks in under an hour to this scam. But there's no
reason. He didn't lose it to the kiosk. He lost it to an actual scammer that the FBI won't even investigate.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is, even if this company wasn't around, that victim would have been instructed to go to any other Bitcoin vending machine in town.
Yeah.
And even if there
was... Go buy cash cards.
Yes, right. What do they call the cash debit cards?
Yeah.
Visa, MasterCard logos.
Prepaid debit cards. There's gift cards for all kinds of places.
Those are all regulated.
Yeah.
I tried to buy one of those things just to see what it was like, because I'd never done it before, because I knew that the scammers were using this technique. Like, well, how hard is it to go and get one of these things? What sort of questions am I going to be asked? What kind of know your customer procedure is going to be in place when I waltz into CVS, you know, 2 a.m. or whenever it is that I went to go and do this, and pull one of these cards off the shelf, give them $500 and or whatever it was, and then buy the card. You know what it was?
Hmm.
You know what the KYC requirement was?
What?
There was a question that came up on the automated screen, because I didn't even have to use a human being. It was just one of those, automated checkouts. There was like a question that came up and said, it was one question, yes or no answer, and it was just the equivalent of, you're not being scammed now, are you? That was it.
Wow.
That was it.
So less than we did.
Way less.
Way less.
No ID required.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. I didn't have to get a photograph taken or a fingerprint scan or anything like that, which, by the way, many of these crypto vending machines do have those requirements. Now, they're alleging in this case that the Bitcoin of America machines had those features disabled, but again, it would not stop any of these victims of these online scams. They're not going to be deterred by having to show their ID.
Yeah, I mean, and all you find out is who the victim is, which you're going to find out eventually anyway.
If they complain about it,
they complain, yeah.
Right. And so it's like the whole idea and this is the narrative and the mythology behind the Crypto 6 case. They brought it up time and time again during my trial was, well, he had disabled these features and that is putting people in danger. No, these people admitted that they were completely under the spell of these scam artists. And there was one lady, she didn't end up getting called to the stand, but in her FBI documents where they had interviewed her, she literally said she would have done anything that the scam artist asked her to do. So the fact that the machine has or doesn't have certain security features is completely immaterial to what these people are willing to do for these scammers.
What matters is, does the owner of the machine have privilege? Does he have political connection? Because if he has political connections, like a bank, he's going to be just fine no matter what he does. And if he doesn't have political connections, like a bank, he's not going to be okay no matter what he does.
Right.
It's nothing is about what is done. Everything is about
who does
it, who do they own, who are they connected to, what politicians have they bought.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, Walmart and Target or CVS, these companies that sell these gift cards, they got connections. Mm-hmm. They got lawyers at the wazoo. They're totally fine with the politicians.
Oh, yeah. They could eat a dozen congressmen for lunch and not even miss them.
Right. People are going in and out of those places all day long, and they're buying these gift cards for God knows what purpose. Could very well be scam artists. There was one guy in the Crypto 6 case who sadly emptied his account of his mother's inheritance to one of these scam artists. Before he bought Bitcoin from us, he spent, $16,000. We had him on the air with us one night. We did an extensive interview of the guy just so we could warn people about some of these scams that were going on out there. But he lost $16,000 in the debit cards before he even bought some Bitcoin.
Wow.
So it's like, there's nothing that will stop these people. One of these guys lost $1.2 million. They actually called him onto the stand. And he, again, he just emptied out his savings, basically, to this scam artist. Only like a quarter of it went to the church's Bitcoin sales. There was another $900,000 that he gave to this scam artist, and the federal government, as you pointed out, never asked him a single question about the other $900,000.
No, they weren't interested in that. You know? You know, the people complain. People have noticed that the FBI is a political goon squad.
But the thing is,
the entire federal government is nothing but a goon squad.
Yeah.
They are nothing but murdering thugs who will do anything to keep themselves in power and in the ability to kill.
They are using these elderly victims.
Absolutely. With no interest in helping
them. No, they're not interested in helping them. And it wasn't just that one guy. There was more than one witness in my case who we, on cross-examination, got to reveal that the FBI was not talking to them at all about the scam artist. One woman even admitted that she was still in contact with this guy.
Uh-huh.
Up until just a week before the trial. She
wow.
is still hearing from him. She says he's still pitching her on new money-making schemes.
Wow.
And when asked, did the FBI ever ask to talk to him, ever ask for his information, ever ask for contact information? No. She said she would be happy to give it to him.
Well, he's too useful to them. They can use him as an excuse to go after people who are breaking the monopoly system of the privileged banks.
Yep.
So they need these scammers to use them to attack good people.
Yeah. That's what's happening. If you want to comment, you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. So this company, Bitcoin of America, has had their machines seized, over 50 machines in Ohio alone. And I've seen the name Bitcoin of America before. I think they might have had some machines in New Hampshire. So I don't know if they still have them installed or if they're going after all of them or what. You know, maybe there's been an update in this case. But this was a big company. And they're not the only one. There's another company that actually went bankrupt recently, so it wasn't the same kind of a takedown, but they're not doing too hot. And, of course, they're continuing to badmouth these companies here. They say, meanwhile, the company allegedly pocketed a 20% transfer fee each time this occurred, meaning that each purchase, and continued to do so even after learning they were fraudulent.
Talk about scammers. How much has the federal government pocketed from their extortion schemes?
Great question. The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160. Hour number two is on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.